Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to the special edition of the Four Scenes Fire American Soccer Show. USA national team takes a 1-0 victory on the Czech Republic in Prague, and you have to say maybe it was a tale of two halves to start this game. A great first half from the U.S., and then of course some questionable play offensively in the second, even though, to be honest, the Czech Republic just could not seem to find a way to punch a goal into the net. And once again, the United States comes off their first match after the World Cup this past June, July. This first match officially after the Landon Donovan era. I know he'll be playing in his send-off match on October the 10th on Friday in Hartford against Ecuador. That will be his farewell match. Unfortunately for that, or for him saying goodbye, this is the first match officially after the Landon Donovan era, as he has already said he is retiring from both his club commitments and the national team. So all you can really do say is that this is the rebirth of a World Cup cycle, and at the same time, it is also the start of a new one as we get ready for the road to Russia. How these things quickly come around. And wow, how about that goal there by Alejandro Bedoya in the 39th minute? That looked awesome. That looked great. It was a bad clearance by Peter Cech. Diskarud pickpockets the defender, goes on the attack, 3-on-1. Diskarud with that rip. And it was a nice save by Cech, but he pushes the rebound towards Alejandro Bedoya, trailing the play from the near side. And Bedoya makes no mistake, with an open net, he converts the goal and gave the U.S. a 1-0 lead in the 39th minute, and holding on to that lead through halftime and throughout the entire second half. The USA looking strong in this match, looking great, and of course, you have to say, at the moment, some of these players coming to play for the national team from all these different walks of life, you might say, or different clubs, you just have to say that for them, it was a fantastic afternoon here on the East Coast, evening over in Prague, as the United States apparently getting their first victory against the Czechs in the Czech Republic. So you just got to say that's pretty good right there. You're finally earning your first win in Prague, as the United States goes out and puts on, you have to say, a young squad, half of them young, half of them regulars. Obviously, Jozy Altidore getting the captain's armband. Of course, Arlo White on the call on NBC Sports Network saying that is the first time that Altidore got the captain's armband. You know what? Good for Josie. Good for him. After everything he went through, the unfortunate moments of him getting that injury during the Ghana game, which, of course, we all felt bad for him, that the pulled hamstring, just couldn't do anything with it, unfortunately. And you just have to say that for Josie, nice job by Jurgen Klinsmann to do this. Very, very nice job from him to give Jozy Altidore the captain's armband. So all I can say is that for the U.S., they looked all right. They looked all right. All I can say is that it wasn't that bad of a match. I thought the USA looked pretty good. I thought the USA played well. Second half, when all the substitutions were coming in, that's when you started to see some question marks in the attack. But once again, defending was very good. I thought both Brad Guzan and Nick Raimondo played very well in goal for the U.S. And if any of you, and just real quick, as I continue on here, if anyone wants their opinion to be heard, the call-in number right now, 646-929-1823. The phone line is open. Come on in and discuss whatever you want. Discuss this USA game. Give me your opinion of what's going on. And all I can say is, once again, goalkeeper is not an issue. Nick Raimondo played very solid in net in the second half. Brad Guzan, I'll be honest with you, you know, he had some great moments, but he really wasn't tested. To me, it looked like he was not to go out there and play the game like we know he did. A couple of shots here and there, kind of easy to handle, but the truth is that the defense was really solid from start to finish in this match. I thought the United States looked great on the ball. I thought they played well while not on the ball. And as we, of course, talk about this roster that was out there, let me just say this. And it has to be said because I think right now we got ourselves a player for the future in qualifying, whether he's going to be used coming off the bench or in a starting 11 role. Joe Gau, in my mind right now, had a great game. Now, obviously, we can't really jump a lot. We can't start saying he's got to be on this roster for Russia. It's well early, very, very early for that. From what I saw so far in this game, Joe Gau, to me, looks like he fits right in with the national team. He took a shot he didn't take a shot he never liked. Let's put it that way. Joe Gau was absolutely incredible in this game. And joining me for this special post-game show is Kartik Krishnire from World Soccer Talk. Kartik, it's a mishmash of young players and, of course, some solid veterans from the World Cup this past summer. In your eyes, how did it look?
It was okay. I mean, we won, which was important. I guess the result matters less than how certain guys played. And I think we had some guys that played very well today. I thought Joe Gau was very, very good. Tampa Florida native, I'm happy to say that, as a Floridian. A player that I watched at the Bradenton Academy down the road from where I am and for a few seasons, and then for a few years, and then he went abroad to Hoffenheim. He went abroad with a player named Charles Rankin, who was not developed into the type of player we thought he would be. Gau has now, and he's on the books of Borussia Dortmund, one of the top clubs in Europe. And he did okay in this game. I thought he was very good. I thought that we saw some good play from Julian Green. Discarud showed some bite in midfield and obviously created that goal, which was scored by Bedoya. Defensively, there were some issues to sort out. I certainly think Czechs had far better opportunities than we did. Of course, the Czech Republic is preparing for Euro qualifying at a very, very high level. They're preparing for qualifying for Euro 2016, a tournament that they need to qualify for. The Czech Republic have been one of the top teams in the Euros over the last several cycles. 96, they got to the finals. 2004, they should have got to the finals, lost in the semifinals. 2008, 2012, very strong. So they were focused on their qualifiers beginning next week, and I think that meant that they were hungrier and ultimately gave a better performance than we did with an experimental squad. But we got the result, which is nice, and again, I thought some guys played well. I thought Josie was okay. Back line, a lot of issues to sort out. I wasn't thrilled with how Tim Ream played when he came out in the second half. I didn't think he did as well as I had hoped.
Yeah, I will agree with you. I thought Timmy looked kind of – Tim Ream, of course, the former New York Red Bull, now with Bolton. Apparently, he's been playing left back with Bolton, and he's not in a central defensive position like he was when he was at University of St. Louis and then drafted by the Red Bulls. I will admit, I thought Timmy looked a little nervous. He did play a little bit out of position on certain offensive tries by the Czechs. I'll be honest with you, Kardik, while you are correct that the defensive line, the back line, didn't look solid enough, to me the Czechs were very unimpressed. I was unimpressed with how the Czechs were attacking, how they brought up the ball. First half, it just looked like, you know, I mean, they had maybe a good few attacking runs, and they had some shots on frame, but I don't know. The conviction to me wasn't there from the Czechs. I mean, if they're going to be one of the favorites coming out of European qualifying for the up-and-coming European Cup in 2016 in France, I honestly have to say the Czechs, to me, could get eliminated.
Yeah, their finishing was very poor in this game. Rusicki served that one ball in the first half on the counterattack when Julian Green gave the ball away up on a platter, and they were not resourceful at all. They weren't very good.
No, they weren't. And that's the one thing that I will agree with you. The Czechs should have punished our young back line, or at least the back line that they had out there. I mean, Brooks was okay. Timmy Chandler at times had deer in the headlights.
Brooks was very good. The other three guys were bad. I mean, Chandler was poor. I didn't think that Fabian Johnson had his best game, and certainly I think Timmy Ream looked very poor when he came on.
Yeah. Yeah, he really did. I agree with you. Tim Ream did not look good at all out there. I thought Orozco was solid. You're right about Fabian Johnson. I mean, he was all right, I guess. I mean, he could have been a lot better. But Doya, midfield was absolutely very solid for the U.S. I think he had a poor game today. Didn't look like how he did look when he was called up World Cup matches for the U.S. last summer. Like we said before, Diskerud looked excellent. Julian Green had a very good job attacking and being up top, actually, as Klinsmann started off with a 4-3-3, which is, why not? Given an opportunity, maybe have Green, and you also had Gal maybe crossing into the middle for Altidore. Actually, I thought did very well holding the ball, bringing up the ball. Obviously, didn't really get any opportunities, or if he did have opportunities, it wasn't solid enough to get on frame. But I thought Josie holding the ball and bringing the ball down the field or up the field, he looked solid there. I think we just lost Kartik Krishnayer, and try and get him back as he's coming very, very busy with other matters through World Soccer Talk as we get him back in here. So hopefully we'll have Kartik back on. But I really felt that Josie Altidore had a great match. He had himself an absolutely solid match, holding the ball, bringing up the ball, creating opportunities. It's just one of those moments you just have to say that for him, offensively, it just didn't seem it came through.
9-5-4.
And it looks like he's not in a good area. Looks like we lost him for the moment, but we'll try and get him back. But I thought Josie Altidore had a very good match, holding up the ball, bringing the ball up into the attack. Him coming back on defense, of course, was solid as well. And you just hope that as this continues on, you have to say that at the moment for the U.S., it's a situation where there's still plenty of room to grow, still plenty of room to develop, still having plenty of room to just go out there and to continue on looking solid. And as we move on forward, of course, with the rest of the schedule that came out for the U.S. to finish up 2014, right now, on October the 10th, they'll be hosting Ecuador at Rentschler Field in East Hartford, Connecticut. That'll be on ESPN at 7 o'clock, October 14th. They'll be hosting Honduras down in Florida at the FAU Stadium in Boca Raton, also on ESPN. That'll be at 8 o'clock Eastern. And then on November 18th, they will be heading back to Europe to finish up the season against the Republic of Ireland, and that will be at 2:45 p.m. start time on the East Coast, probably around 8:45 Eastern European time or Western European time at the Aviva Stadium in Dublin at the Republic of against the Republic of Ireland. So those should be some interesting matches. Of course, October 10th is also the game where we're going to honor, or the U.S. men's national team will honor Landon Donovan for his service with the national team. So it should be pretty good. Other than that, once again, as we talk about what's been going on here with this national team game, Alejandro Bedoya once again getting the only goal of the match in the 39th minute off a rebound shot off of Mix Diskerud. Diskerud is starting to show more confidence out there, starting
System
to show.
Nine,
and once again, Carter Krishnire is probably in an area where his phone is not working right now, but that's okay. You know, Mix Diskerud right now, he has shown some confidence right now on the field. He brought up the ball well. He's setting up plays, looking solid. And I think Mix Diskerud is going to be definitely in the future plans for the national team. I really, truly believe that Diskerud is going to go out there and he is going to start to shine. Now, obviously, like we said before, we're not going to anoint future stars of this national team. We liked what we saw. And a good job at Klinsmann in telling everyone, don't be afraid to make a mistake. And listen, don't be afraid to take a shot. If you feel you can take a shot anywhere on the field, obviously like it to be a little bit more from within the area. But still, though, if you want to take a shot and give it a, you know, give it a shot at net, whatever, go ahead and do so. And go ahead and try and do it, you know, with confidence. And that's all I can really ask for from these young players that are supposed to be the future for the national team, because the hope is this. The hope is to see who is going to shine and who is going to go out there and basically do a job. And we have Carter Krishnire back on, going through, of course, my problems with cell phones as well when you're driving. But anyway, let's just go back to Altidore for a second, because after we had a little issue there with the phone line. I thought, even though he didn't have a ton of opportunities to take shots on frame, I thought he brought up the ball. I thought he brought the ball up well. I thought he held the ball well. Two of the three things he did well in this game as a target striker, even though he never got an opportunity to get close enough to goal. But I thought he played well today, and, of course, wearing the captain's armband for the first time as a national team player.
I was real happy for Josie to get to wear the armband. I actually watched the game at a pub in Boca, which is his whole hometown, and thought this was a very important occasion for him. I was very happy for him. I thought he did very well, and he held the ball up well. He brought others into play, and he ran the channels decently well. Not great, but decently well. Made a real case for himself as a long-term captain for the U.S. National team, because I don't think Clint Dempsey's going to be around for the next World Cup. And I think, quite honestly, also made a case to Gus Poirier and Sunderland. They have three strikers. They tried to get Fabio Borini on deadline day, who was so instrumental in them escaping relegation at the end of last season. They did not get Borini. He opted to stay at Liverpool. I don't know why. You're not going to play at Liverpool. He had an opportunity to move to QPR. He had an opportunity to move to Sunderland. He didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So this is Altidore. They only have three strikers. Connor Wickham, who's a young English striker who did well at the end of last season, but it's been more hype and potential than anything else to this point in his career since he came over from Ipswich a couple seasons ago. He did well for them at the end of last season. They got Stephen Fletcher, who's an injury-prone striker. And they got Josie. So Josie's making a case for more playing time at Sunderland. Sunderland could be in a relegation scrap again this year, but you see the way that in spite of a lack of regular playing time for the United
mm-hmm.
States, for Sunderland, that he turns it off for the United States. Very, very good. Very good.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Let's talk about Breck Shea for a moment. Obviously, he came off the substitutes bench. And I think Breck Shea needs to leave Stoke or at least go on loan somewhere from England.
Yeah,
maybe in the Championship, maybe Football League One or Two. To me, it doesn't matter. He should go somewhere on loan or just come back to MLS, because while I understand the Premier League is so hyped and the Premier League is that, shall I guess we can say it, champagne football, you might say, because
it
is.
But he's not at a champagne football level. He's not at the level to play for Stoke. He's not a Premier League player.
Exactly.
If he's going to develop to a Premier League player, he needs to go somewhere else and develop.
Exactly.
He failed at Barnsley when he was loaned there last season before they were relegated to League One. I thought he looked pretty raw today. He's got to tough it out like some of the other Americans have done there. Cameron's toughed it out at Stoke. He's got to tough it out like Timmy Ream has at Bolton. I know Ream didn't have the best game today, but he's toughed it out. Or he's got to come back home to MLS. I'm not sure FC Dallas necessarily was as well as they played. They lost this weekend, but they hadn't lost the game today in the league, at least. That's not including Open Cup. But I don't know that he goes back to Dallas and has his position there, but he can go to some other club in Major League Soccer, or he could go to another league in Europe. But he's not cutting it right now.
No, he's not. And he really needs to go to another club. If not from within England, then he needs to go to a club where from within Europe, maybe he needs to go to the Scandinavian route like so many other American players have gone. Maybe he needs to go to Denmark. Maybe he needs to play in Norway. Maybe he needs to play in Sweden. Maybe he just needs to play somewhere.
Yeah, he needs to play one of those, like Norway or Sweden or Denmark would be good. Yeah, I agree with you, Daniel. That's where he needs to go.
Yeah, or maybe even in the Eredivisie in the Netherlands. Maybe he needs to go there too.
Yeah.
I mean, England is so demanding. England is such a tough place for any young American to go there. I know it's on here, everyone's television screens when it comes to the Premier League on NBC, the FA Cup on Fox Sports 1 and 2 and Fox Soccer Plus. But still, if he's not going to cut it or get the minutes that he needs to be on our national team, Breck Shea needs to go to another league where he will get the minutes and the people will have the patience for him, because you've seen it many times, even with Mark Hughes running Stoke. He has no patience for you if you're not going to adapt as fast as you should.
Right, and Cameron adapted, but Maurice Adu did not. Although I think Cameron may have done better even with Pulis. I mean, Pulis bought all these American players. He bought Shea, he brought Adu, he bought Cameron. I think they have another American. I think they bought four Americans. Hughes didn't have much use for these guys other than Cameron, who fought his way in, coming off an injury now. But Shea's got to move on. I want to see what Will Packwood can do with the national team at some point. He wasn't called in for these games, but I would have liked to have seen him. He'd be a good one. Will Packwood, who is at Birmingham City.
Yeah, absolutely. And that would be a pretty good choice too.
The young man from Fulham was in the squad. I was hoping to see Cody Crawford today, actually from Southampton, but he didn't get a run out. I guess Raimondo got the second half of the game, which is deserved. Nicky Raimondo has earned that. There's going to be competition for that top goalkeeper spot. I mean, we assume it's going to be Guzan, but it looks like Klinsmann's going to give Nicky Raimondo every chance to win that number one goalkeeper shirt.
Why not?
I know we're talking about the U.S. right now, but I want to talk about Timmy Howard.
Yes.
For a minute, Daniel.
Sure.
I know everybody saw the game on NBC the other day, that Chelsea-Everton game. You learned by watching that game what a great man and great teammate Timmy Howard is. You saw Costa, the own goal on Seamus Coleman. Costa starts taunting Seamus Coleman in a very rude and unprofessional manner, and Howard got in his face. He picked up a yellow card for it, but that's why we love Timmy Howard so much. He's such a great teammate. He sees a young kid on his team being taunted for scoring an own goal by a Chelsea player, and he gets right in that player's face. That's why U.S. players and Everton players will tell you Timmy Howard's a leader. He's a great teammate, and that's why I know Donovan's about to retire, and he's everybody seems to love Donovan. But that's why Timmy Howard, I think, is our favorite for those of us who follow the sport really closely.
You know, talking about Timmy Howard, when he announced his break for the year for the national team. The truth is he's deserved this break. It's not like all of a sudden, you know, he took a four-year sabbatical from everything. It's not like he took a – I shouldn't say four-year, 4 months. He didn't take a four-month sabbatical to clear his head from both club and country. He went to Klinsmann. He said, I want to take a break for a year. I'll be back in September 2015 to, you know, fight for the national team. And while either Guzan or Raimondo, maybe Robles, maybe Sean Johnson, maybe Bill Hamid, or, you know, are in the running to try and grab the number one shirt from Tim Howard, the truth is there's nothing at all, that tells me that Tim Howard's ready to retire. To me, he deserves this break. It's not just the performance he had in this past World Cup. It's the performances he's had ever since he started in American soccer in this country, back when the North Jersey Imperials were around in the old PDL, the old USISL, drafted by then, of course, this club is the Red Bulls, back then the Metro Stars. I've seen Tim Howard play exceptional games in goal, making tremendous saves like a hockey goalie makes saves on the ice. He's made tremendous saves like out of the blue that you never thought you'd see. And, I mean, he went from having a little turmoil at Manchester United, even though he did win the FA Cup when he was with them, moving on to Everton, which is now his home. Tim Howard shows you why he is still considered one of the best goalkeepers in the league, in the Premier League, as well as on the national team for our country. And you're absolutely right. Tim Howard will fight for you. Doesn't matter what shirt you wear, whether for your club or your country, Tim Howard is going to step up and fight for you, just like they will fight for him.
Right, which is something Donovan doesn't do. I don't want to bash Donovan. I just felt like I should bring that up because I want to draw the contrast. Coleman got taunted by Diego Costa after scoring an own goal in that epic game on NBC the other day. And Armel White and I think it was Graham was Nixon. They weren't quite sure what Howard was doing, but now that we saw the replay, Howard got in the face of all the Chelsea players and picked up a yellow card because the Chelsea players were taunting his players. Now, that's the thing that, you know, that's the loyalty that he has to his teammates that Landon never really developed. But, I mean, again, I don't want to bash Landon. I want to just talk about what a great teammate Tim Howard is. And now the opportunity is there for Brad Guzan and Sean Johnson, Luis Robles. Robles, of course, has been has gotten featured under Bob Bradley, got called up for a couple of matches. He has not gotten that opportunity under Klinsmann. I'd like to see him get that chance. But now the opportunity is there for Nicky Raimondo and others to take it. And give them a chance with the number one shirt.
Absolutely. I cannot agree. I mean, I agree with you. I can't stop agreeing with you because that's the truth. Tim Howard has proven to be probably one of the best and most liked players on the national team. I mean, there's a couple of others out there, obviously. Like, you know, people like Clint Dempsey. People like Josie. You know, but Tim Howard shows you why he goes out there match in, match out for the national team and does this wonderful thing, being a great keeper and at the same time being a true teammate. That's what it's all about. And it will be a difficult moment for Klinsmann to pick who he's going to choose. Let's just say for the heck of it, Kardik, Tim Howard, when September of next year comes around, let's just say for the heck of it, Tim Howard does say, you know, I've taken a year to reflect my life for the national team, and I've decided to retire from international soccer. And then the real pressure comes on. And then I think right now, I mean, if you, depending on who you count as number one or number two, let's just say hypothetically, Tim Howard does call a retirement. Is it Guzan and Raimondo that gets it? Or do you think the competition will still be wide open?
I think it's Guzan one, Raimondo two, and then that third goalkeeper shirt is open. Give a chance for another keeper to play in a World Cup. So that'll be that would be interesting. I mean, I it could be Sean Johnson. It could be – I have to think Bill Hamid is – not Bill Hamid, sorry. I have to think Luis Robles is in good shape considering the way he's played of late. So that would be what would happen. But, I mean, Howard's entitled to that at this point. The way Donovan's going to have the send-off game, I'm looking forward to that on the 10th. But – Oh, that was kind of a sour taste in everyone's mouth about Landon. I mean, even today at the pub, there are some people saying, well, we love him. You know, we're going to fly up to Connecticut for that game. There are other people saying good riddance because he took shots at the manager. He didn't, and he took off for 4 months. And really, at a time when in the middle of qualifying, it wasn't – it's different when you do it between in the first year of a World Cup cycle as opposed to being in the third year of a World Cup cycle, which is what happened with Donovan. Maybe it was just bad timing, and maybe that's not Landon's fault, but that's what happened.
Well, that's true, but I still contend that not being available for that midweek qualifier in Honduras, you know, you really could have used Landon there to at least take a win or at least hold on for a draw.
No. Danny, you make a great point about that particular game. That was a critical game. That was the first game of the Hex, and, yeah, he wasn't available for that. And he did this right before that, and that's something that's hardly forgivable. You know, Klinsmann, I think, was tolerant enough to bring him back into the team. He didn't have to do that. He could have just said, okay, that's that. He really could have.
Yeah, he really could have. He really did could have, and I'll be honest. Look, all I can say is about Landon, as great of a player as he is, not just for, you know, club-wise, but also for the national team. I mean, who knows? Maybe, you see, when it comes to Landon Donovan, I'm not going to question him about the national team. I really think national team-wise, he's been the most dangerous attacking player that this country's ever developed. But when it when it comes to the club situation, and I understand many people thought he should have stuck it out with Leverkusen when he was originally signed by them, and it just didn't work out with him for the second attempt. It didn't work for him being over with Bayern Munich, but then when, you know, it looks like he was going to be a fit for Everton, then, of course, what does MLS do? They pull him back, and maybe that little situation probably it soured on him a little bit that he couldn't stay at Everton because it looked like he loved being in Everton and he wanted to stay there.
He went back a second time, and I think he wanted to go back a third time last year, and then what happened was that Arena said no. The Galaxy said no. So, I think Everton would have been the right place for him. Here's the thing. I don't want to bring it up again. I mean, we're having a Timmy Howard love fest, but I think it's well earned. I think part of his comfort at Everton was Timmy Howard was there. Timmy Howard is a club legend. Whatever happened at Manchester United happened. I don't know. It's a tough place, demanding fans. But he's a legend at Everton. I mean, he's the man there. Everton supporters, English people from Liverpool, from Merseyside, they tell me Timmy Howard. They love the United States because of Timmy Howard. They're cheering for the United States World Cup because of Timmy Howard. So that made it easier for Donovan.
Yeah, it really did. It really did make it easier for Donovan. I mean, you know, even had Tim Cahill there before he came over to MLS. So, I mean, you got Tim Cahill, who was probably helping him out as well. And a countryman like Tim Howard in goal just to help him as well. And, I mean, it looked like he was happy. And, I mean, look, I want MLS to succeed just as much as everyone else wants the league to succeed. Obviously, we're going to argue about the differences between the whole single entity and now the up-and-coming collective bargaining agreement that's going to be ending right now at the end of the season, going into negotiations for a brand-new one to start 2015. But the truth is that maybe there was a point where while Landon Donovan was doing well for the Galaxy, maybe he wanted to go to Everton. Now that's it. It's over now. Now he's just lost he's lost the will to go out there and to perform. And I'm not trying to be negative about Landon on that. I mean, I wish he wouldn't have gone and retired from everything. I wish he would have stayed on and, you know, maybe just tell the league, look, I've done enough for you. I want to go to England. I want to be in England for the rest of my life. And probably now he's lost the desire to go out fully.
Yeah, no, that very well could be it. But Daniel, unfortunately, I've got something's just come up, so I've got to jump. Just in summary, good victory.
Oh, it's a very good victory. I mean, look, let me just say this in closing, Cardick, real quick. This is a terrible friendly loss for the Czechs because they are going to be involved in a dogfight for European Cup qualifying. Because in my view, while the USA played a great first half, and even though the substitutions hampered them in the second half, the Czechs should have punished the U.S. for the full 90 minutes. They didn't do that. They had their chances in the second half. The coach made some changes at halftime and while during the second half, but still the Czechs are at fault for themselves for not punishing the U.S. when they should have.
Yeah, I agree with that, and they had the chance. I mean, starting with the counterattack in the first half, Julian Green gave the ball away. Rosicki, which is a great Arsenal player, put the ball on the platter for whoever that striker was, who decided foolishly, instead of continuing his run, to dive and try and score a stylish goal. And it just kind of snowballed from there. I mean, I think that the Czechs are going to be very disappointed with this performance. I mean, I guess this is a teaching moment for them. But they expect to qualify for the Euros. But based on this performance, they may not. And if they don't, their manager is going to be out of the job. So, I think it was a bad game for them.
Yeah, it really, really was. Okay, Karik, I'll talk to you next time. Take care and have a good day.
We'll do this for the Hartford game.
Yes, sir.
Good. Thanks, Daniel.
No problem. Thank you, Karik. That's Karik Krishnan from World Soccer Talk, of course, here on the USA postgame show as the United States defeat the Czech Republic by a final of a goal to nil. Once again, Alejandro Bedoya puts in a rebound in the 39th minute to give the U.S. the 1-0 lead, and, of course, it ended 1-0 for the United States. Once again, look, it's not about bashing on Landon Donovan. We don't want to bash him. I mean, the truth is he is still a great player, and he's retiring at the age of 32. I mean, if you want to say you want to retire from the national team, and that's fine, but he's retiring for the whole thing. And, you know, something happened along the way, and it just looked like he just lost his desire, unfortunately. I think it's going to be great to have Landon Donovan being honored in a farewell match against Ecuador. And it's nice to see Landon Donovan getting all these gifts from all the clubs that he's finishing up on the season. But still, though, the number one thing is this, is that Landon Donovan, a great player as he is, and he will be at the end of his career in about a month or two, Landon Donovan is saying goodbye. And it's just one of those moments where you just cannot be happy about if you are an American national team fan or if you're covering Landon Donovan, because let's be honest, he's a great player who decided to end his career very early. Now, obviously, he's not 25, he's not 27, he's not 28, he's 32. And he deserves every single compliment that he gets. But still, in my opinion, he probably should have continued on playing here in MLS. Or if his MLS contract is at an end, he should have. Or if he still has a couple of years left on it and he decides to transfer somewhere else, he should have just said, "Look, can you just let me transfer to Everton?" And then I just want to see how he is playing in England for more than just a loan deal. And you know what? He would have been fine being with Tim Howard again, and him and Timmy would have been all right. But still, though, this is what it is. And as we move forward on, it's just another situation where, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? But once again, first half, I thought it was a great first half by the U.S. They attacked, they defended, they did solid, they got a goal. And then they were trying to attack again in the second half, and against all these subs, all these young players getting an opportunity to go out there. And once again, just a situation where it just did not translate into anything offensively. But I will say this. I'm impressed with – now, I don't know if he's a third-generation player. Obviously, his grandfather, Shellis Hyndman, did – a great job as a coach at SMU and with FC Dallas. His father, now I'm not aware of what his father has done, if he did play professionally for the U.S. men's national team or in a league around. But Emerson Hyndman, the grandson of Shellis Hyndman, who is currently at Fulham, did something where I thought was a wonderful moment for him to prove that probably he can sneak in and make a roster, either for a Gold Cup or for World Cup qualifying. And what he did was lose the ball in the midfield. He loses the ball in midfield, and then he goes out. He just gets up on his feet very quickly. And this was in the 84th minute. He made a bad pass. He got up, and he hustled back on defense to take the ball back, and he did that. That shows me he wasn't looking around for the whistle from the ref. He wasn't looking for help from the assistant saying, hey, where's the foul? He wasn't trying to milk a supposed injury, which, of course, that did not happen. What he did was get up the ball again, track back for it, makes an excellent tackle to take the ball away. And you know what? That is fantastic in my eyes. That is absolutely brilliant from him going back to get the ball, going back on defense when you lost it, and then you win it again. Great job by Emerson Heineman to go and do that. And that's, you know, that's what you want to see. That's what you want to see from these young players who want to be on this national team, who want to go out and say to Jurgen Klinsmann, I'm here to challenge a spot. I'm here to challenge a spot and try and take a job away from one of the starters. Or probably taking a spot away from Mix Diskerud. You never know. You never know what's going to happen with these friendlies. And once again, the brand new cycle started today, and the USA gets a huge win over the Czech Republic, who has always been one of those nations that have been a solid program to go out, not only to qualifying for the European Cup title and getting out of European Cup qualifying, but still, though, it's absolutely brilliant to see it, to see a kid like that getting an opportunity, and he's taking advantage of the opportunity. He came off the bench, and he does a great job in holding the ball, passing the ball, lost it, made a bad pass, and then fought back to get it, and basically just got up, fought, and got it back. Subbing in for Alejandro Bedoya in the 67th minute. I will say this for Emerson Heineman, because you didn't see it in the picture, but you saw it kind of late. He was trying to pass it back to the back line, and unfortunately, he got enough on the ball, Emerson Heineman, for the back pass, but you saw the central defender slip. So if it's a situation where he slipped by accident, and then, you know, maybe it's a situation where it was probably a solid pass, but it could have been a poor one if it was a slip, if it was not a slip, I should say, but what are we going to do? But anyway, as we finish up here in the 14th Fire American Soccer Show, let me just say right now, thank you very much for listening today. The United States defeating the Czech Republic by a final of 1-0. Once again, Alejandro Bedoya in the 39th minute. Alejandro Bedoya makes a great play as he gets on a rebound shot and converts it past Peter Cech, the Chelsea man. And it's just one of those moments where, hey, you got to try and do what you got to do. But other than that, thank you very much for listening tonight. Hope everyone will be doing all right and everything will be okay. Thank you again for listening to this post-game show. Thanks again to Carter Krishnire from World Soccer Talk as we finish up here on the 14th Fire American Soccer Show. Join me this coming Tuesday as we have another fun edition of the 14th Fire American Soccer Show. As always, enjoy your football. Thank you for listening. Have a great evening, everybody.